Greetings from Lebanon to all the precious seeds of God on this platform of the daily devotion. We really want to thank the Lord for all our daily bread, the bread that feeds our inner man. This is the bread that feeds our soul, which we are desperately in need of, to hear of the words of life, which come not from this world, but these are the words that come from a world without end, the world that God so loved. It is not this present evil world, but the world that God so loved is the world without end, the world that He had in His thoughts before the foundation of the world, the world that did not have any tears or pain or suffering, the world that was perfect in love and joy and peace and in righteousness. That is the world that God has prepared for us, that no eye has seen and no ear has heard. So let us appreciate our Heavenly Father, who never leaves His children begging for bread, but always supplies our needs in all matters of life, both spiritually and earthly. Yes, let us pray and give glory to Him who is able to make us stand. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before You, knowing that You have given us the greatest gift of grace. You have made Yourself visible in Christ Jesus, the image of God. Thank You, Lord, for giving us this token, and You have given us the blessing, Lord, that comes from above, that perfect gift that we never so imagined. Nothing that we can think of, Lord, is greater than what You have given us already. And You have granted us to be partakers with Your divine nature. You have granted us, Lord, the deliverance from death. So, Lord, help us to continually obey Your instructions, to hear Your word, to yield to Your Spirit, to deny ourselves, and to always desire the words of life. Lord, we want the heat, the fire in our hearts to burn continually for Your word. Yes, Lord, You are the reason that we can continue to burn. For without You, Lord, we would be so cold, so cold-hearted, without love, without natural affection, without any peace. But all glory be to You for giving us Your peace. You alone can present us, Lord, before You without any blemish, without any spot or wrinkle. You will present us before You in joy unspeakable. We believe that You are able to do it, Lord, not by our power, but by Your Spirit. All things are possible. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Yes, we are so grateful, my brothers and sisters, for the life that Christ lived on our behalf. We are so grateful for every good work that came from His life. We are to always give thanks, as Jude tells us in verse 24, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Amen. Let us offer praise to God, our Savior, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can keep you from falling, and make you pure and joyful in His glorious presence. He is able to do so because Jesus Himself, when He was in the flesh, He said these words that we read in the book of John chapter 8 from verse 29 and verse 30. And He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. And in verse 30 it says, as He spake those words, many believed on Him. Amen. And as He speaks those words today, as we hear these lively words again today, let us believe even the more. These are the words that should make us believe more than anything, because these are the words that will do the works which will please the Father. Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. And then He said, that's why the Father has not left me alone. Can you imagine His whole life in the flesh? Jesus was never left alone, because He always did the things that pleased His Father. He's the only one who can perform that which is good in the flesh. We can never do these works, but by faith, in believing in the one whom God had sent, He is the only one that can do these works in us. For it is the Spirit that dwells in us that will do the works that are ordained for us to walk in. It says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 12, Lord Yahweh, You will establish peace and prosperity for us, for all we have accomplished is the result of what You work through us. Amen. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. And because Christ Jesus always did the good works, the Father never left Him. We need to believe in these words, just as they believed on Him when He spoke these words. There was a time when the disciples wanted to do the works of God, and they were so zealous for the kingdom, and they asked Him, How do we do the works of God? And Jesus answered, Believe in the one whom is sent. Only He is able to perform the good works. Only He is able to keep us from falling and to present us holy with great joy. For only He was found worthy to open the book that was sealed and to give us the words of life that came out of the book of life. Amen. And Jesus, who always felt the presence of glory and grace all His life, He grew with this presence. He grew in favor with God. He had so much favor upon Him. He grew in wisdom and stature. This wisdom and grace was the presence of the Father that He felt every day that He lived on this earth. The Father never left Him alone, for He always did the things that pleased His Father. But the hour came when Jesus no longer felt His Father's presence. And He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? It was the first time He had truly felt being alone. And we know it happened gradually at the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus wanted to pray and He asked the disciples to pray with Him. That is when the process of being alone began. He prayed alone. the disciples could not pray with him. But not only did he pray alone, the time would come when he would completely be felt alone. For there was only one way for Jesus to be alone, and for him to say these words, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was only because he took all our sins and he took upon him this curse. Jesus knew very well what he was uttering when he said, "Why did you leave me?" The Spirit of the Father left him because Jesus became sin for us. And sin does not please the Father. Only faith pleases God. But the opposite of faith is unbelief. The opposite of faith is sin. For the Scripture tells us that sin is unbelief. Jesus took all our unbelief away on the cross. My brothers and sisters, we must be certain that all our unbelief has been taken away. We are of those that believe. Let us believe that everything Jesus did for us was to please the Father on our behalf. For throughout all of his life on earth, he did the things which pleased the Father. And the Father never left him alone because he did the things which pleased him. But here, in this case, on the cross, all our sins were nailed on that cross. All our unbelief withdrew the presence of God. It took the presence of God away from his only begotten Son. At one point, Jesus was in joy, and he was speaking, and he was saying, "The Father has never left me alone." But here on the cross, in suffering and sorrow, we hear Jesus say the exact opposite. "Why have you left me?" What did Jesus feel at that exact moment when he said those words? It is so hard for us to comprehend because we never did feel the way he felt throughout his whole life. Even at the age of 12, Jesus was feeling the Spirit and the presence of the Father. And he desired to do his Father's business. All his life, he felt the presence of his Father with him. He never once felt the feeling that he was alone. But oh, what a feeling that came upon him at that very moment when he cried out these words of separation. And he had to go through it for our sakes. He had to feel that feeling of being left alone. We feel this all the time, but Jesus only felt it that one time when he cried out these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But how many times have we felt forsaken? How many times have we felt like we were alone? But the Lord is telling us that he took that feeling for us. He experienced it, that we might always experience the presence of the Father, that we might always have the joy, the love of God. Our Lord and Savior wants us to know that he took that feeling away for us to always be united and reconciled to our Father. It is our flesh that wants to separate us again, because our flesh is the enemy of God. But let it be known that we are united
we are together seated in heavenly places. That is the reality of what the Lord Jesus accomplished. And let us read how that started taking place. It was when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at what it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, from verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Amen. Let us read it in a different translation in the TPT version. It says, during Christ's days on earth, he pleaded with God, praying with passion and with tearful agony that God would spare him from death. And because of his perfect devotion, his prayer was answered and he was delivered. Amen. The tears, the strong crying that came out of Jesus did not come out in vain. Every tear of his was precious in the sight of God. And in every tear he cried, thousands and thousands of names were falling out from his eyes. This strong crying and tears came out in great passion for his body to be spared from death. And he did spare his body from the second death, the true death. He spared his bones from death, for not one of his bone was broken. And not one scripture can be broken. Not one word can be lost. For we are his body. We are his bones. We are his words of spirit and life. He spared us from death. And he took the keys of death. These tears that were shed were not lost. They had a purpose. Their purpose was to deliver us from death. That is why he cried all these tears. The strong crying was meant for his body to be delivered from death. That is what the scripture says. And we know by revelation that we are the body of Christ. Amen. We came out of his eyes first before coming out of his body. We came out from his eyes while he prayed for us. The Father heard his Son praying. He saw his tears. And within these tears, there was great joy of victory behind every tear that fell from his eye. For Jesus loved us so greatly, he was able to see behind the cross. He was able to endure the cross by reason of joy. That is what Hebrews tells us. It was because of the joy that he saw behind. Yes, behind every struggle, behind every suffering and pain, behind every fallen state that we went through, there was joy and victory. And that is what was able to give strength for Jesus to continue our redemption. He was able to go through the cross because of the joy that was set before him. What joy was this? It was the shout of joy which we shouted with before the foundation of the world. That was going on in the mind of Christ. And as Jesus was walking, bearing the cross, going to be crucified, we were in his thoughts, in his last steps, as he took these steps to be crucified. We were so much in his thoughts that there was a crown of thorns which was placed upon his head. He took all our thorns of sins. We were his thorns. We were in his thoughts, and he died for us, thinking about us, thinking that he was gonna deliver us from death. For that was his prayer before he took up the cross. He prayed with these tears to be delivered from death. Amen. And so were we delivered. There is no greater love than this. Yes, he did all this to present us holy before him, to give us his righteousness. He did all this to make us free, to take our place, to take our shame, to take away our sins and all our unbelief. We were his thorns. We were his tears. We were his bones. And we were his joy. For it was great joy for him to find every lost bone and to save all that was lost. It was the greatest work of love. And because of this great love, no longer can any blame or any finger pointing at us, no longer can any accusation from the enemy come before us. He is now able to present us holy in his presence. The accuser of the brethren is accusing pointlessly, without anyone of his seeds to point at. He is pointing toward emptiness, toward vanity, without any truth to his finger. The finger of the enemy cannot point at any seed of God, because the work was finished. Love was perfecting its work. And Jesus said, "It is finished. Where are your accusers?" Just as he told that woman where her accusers were, he is telling us today the same. For we are found blameless, without fault, by the blood of Christ. Amen. Let us believe in him. Let us believe in this love, in his works. His works that was able to please the Father. Let us believe in his tears, the tears that were shed for us, and his Spirit that was able to deliver us from death. And let us walk in the Spirit. That is how we walk in faith. That is when we will be found walking with him. And that is when we will be found pleasing in his sight. Amen. Let us hear again the sweet words that Jesus spoke in John chapter 8. He said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And in verse 30, we close, "As he spake these words, many believed on him." Let us believe in these words that he spoke, that by Christ Jesus, we will please our Father. By his works, by his Spirit, we will feel his presence. We will always believe, and all our unbelief will be remembered no more. Amen and amen. We will continue this series. God willing, let us surrender the week for him, and this coming new month of August, we surrender it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.